Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information. Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show, though they are often just as long sometimes as our long format episodes, which focus on one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time.
Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into a specific area connected to the national parks. Today's Trail Mix is called Land Back, and it's about returning land to Indigenous people.
In case you may be in the dark about this, because unfortunately it is quite possible due to the narrative taught in American schools, let's all get up to speed. The narrative that was taught in history classes when our generation was in elementary school in the 90s and long before...
That's 1890s.
And most often still taught today, starting even somewhere around the second grade, is that the land currently known as America was, quote, discovered, end quote, by white European explorers looking for a shorter trip around the world. And that upon discovering this vast open land, they created colonies and expanded their countries, making history and being celebrated at every turn.
And while there were some indigenous people here on this land, they made peace with them and worked together and even had a meal together that represented that peace that we still celebrate today every Thanksgiving. And that it was even their God-given right to continue expanding these territories all the way west to the Pacific Ocean so that they might fulfill their dreams of becoming as rich as the royalty they left behind in Europe. And through the work of many brave men, they were able to create America.
Okay, puke.
Yeah. I mean, we really turned it on there.
Huh?
I mean, but ooh, look how easy it is to turn it on and make it sound so idyllic and beautiful and
now
without
just
conflict.
Add some fireworks, right, and some, like, you know, music.
At Mount Rushmore.
Reminds us, right, of, you know, patriotism. Ugh. And then there we go.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Great. For those of you out there listening, this
can't
has,
read our sarcasm.
This has nothing to do with our supporting the military or, like,
right,
people who serve in the military.
Right, 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 right.
And if you think it does, I want you to go back and rethink that, why you're thinking that.
I think you have another thing coming. And it's right, not that think.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it definitely doesn't. But it does speak volumes to the utter horse
nonsense
crap
that was fed to us
that
in
is
school.
Fed to us and is, like, very pervasive, and it's dangerous.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
incredibly
so
dangerous,
harmful.
Because
and,
it
like, continued
also,
harm.
Oh yeah,
it's
because it also
harm.
It also removes a lot of the time free thought,
yeah,
from and
yeah,
critical thinking about what happened. I think this goes back to, like, well, you know, kids are too young to learn those things.
No,
and it's like no. No. Nope. Not if you do it in a way that is evidence-based and that is grade-specific, that you can, like, clearly teach kids that what conflict is, because they experience
yeah,
conflict and they see it, whether it's at home, whether it's on the news, like, they can grasp what the process is here and how it was, like, something was someone's and then it was taken by somebody else. That's, you know,
yeah,
it,
exactly,
it's as simple as that.
It makes me think about, like, the whole excuse. So, like, I don't know if kids, you know, like, kids are too young to learn this feels very much like, you know, in the world of, like, intellectual grooming to make
yeah,
them, you know, hopefully.
Subversive.
Yeah. Like, think a certain way
right,
by a certain age, you know, or mm-hmm, like now we can make people think this, which, you know, There's only one political party really interested in that. Just going to say that. Mm-hmm.
The Green Party.
Yeah, exactly. So, trigger warning, we're going to be talking about how white settlers treated indigenous people. Some of the language will be very realistic. So let's talk about the reality of what the narrative is. Indigenous people have inhabited and cared for the land that is also called America for over 20,000 years. They have long established heritage and culture directly connected to this land. And when white Europeans started traveling here, their land was stolen from them.
And to be clear about the intention behind the stealing of this land, white European settlers wanted the land for themselves and wanted to erase indigenous people from the situation so that they could continue building colonies. This colonization also served as the root cause for racism and capitalism in this land also called America. The relationship between white settlers and the indigenous tribes of the land, also known as America, resulted in forced, violent removal, slavery, genocide, and treaty deals. A treaty was when white settlers would promise land in other areas to indigenous tribes.
But these treaties were often signed under the shadiest of circumstances. For example, only one signature from one member of the tribe was required to agree to a treaty in many cases. So white settlers would often convince one member of the tribe who wasn't the chief and who wasn't the majority to agree on behalf of an entire tribe. Also, the land that they were granted was most of the time far less fertile. Also, land that was granted through treaties would often then be reduced in size over and over and over again until it was a mere fraction of the land where they had lived before.
Let's take a look at indigenous tribes in the land we also call America today. According to the guide Tribal Nations in the United States, published in 2019 by the National Congress of American Indians, there are currently, quote, 574 sovereign tribal nations, variously called tribes, nations, bands, pueblos, communities, and native villages, have a formal nation-to-nation relationship with the U.S. government. There were 334 federally and state-recognized American Indian reservations in 2010. These 574 tribal nations are located across 35 states and within the geographic borders of the United States. However, each tribal nation exercises its own sovereignty. Each of the 574 tribal governments is legally deemed as a federally recognized tribal nation. State-recognized tribal nations are recognized by their respective state governments, end quote.
So let's talk for a moment about recognition, because there's some, we actually have a situation here in New Jersey regarding recognition. I could not find any clear answer as to why some tribes are recognized only by the state or some are recognized by the federal government. Regardless, these are words that white settlers came up with in our government to, you know, all of this kind of recognition is from its derivative of this government. But let's chat about what that recognition really means. So there are three recognized tribes in New Jersey: the Ramapo Lenape, the Powhatan Renape, and the Nanticoke Lenni Lenape. Now, the three of them are state recognized, but not federally recognized. Don't exactly know why, but
I'm wondering if it's a stepping stone, like you have to be recognized state first, then federally.
I don't know. And I tried to find that out and I couldn't find the answer.
Okay.
Back in 2012, the office of then Governor Chris Christie sent a two-sentence email to the federal government's General Accounting Office saying incorrectly that the state of New Jersey recognized no Native American tribes. And that is all it took for all of the resources that were available to the people of these tribes to immediately lose access to it.
Fun.
Super fun, right. Okay, so these include access to federal grants to improve members' health, education, workforce preparedness, contracts for highly rated tribally owned businesses, and the right to label and sell elders' traditional arts and crafts as American Indian made. These are just some of them, but immediately all of those things are gone. The Nanticoke Lenni Lenape sued. They had to go to court. It was a very, very long process. They basically had to prove that they had been previously recognized so that what they said was factually incorrect.
Right.
So here we have another example of a group of indigenous people enduring abuse, and then it falls burden to them to get out of the situation. They have to do all of the work and heavy lifting
right.
to get out of this abuse.
Right.
And so they had to go to court many times. Literally. So they had to go to court many times. They did finally, they settled out of court with the state of New Jersey, who did say, okay, we will recognize you. And then the state paid them $2.4 million. Mm-hmm. Now, they have 3,000 members. If they decided to, you know, split that among their 3,000 members, that means everybody gets $800.
Wow.
Which, you know, I know that if I went to school, if I were a member of that tribe, mm-hmm. and I had gone to school from anywhere between 2012 and 2018, mm-hmm. $800 is not going to do a lot for the tuition.
No.
And the access that I would have had to any
right.
government grants to go to school.
Right.
One of the things that they cited was casino gaming, because mm-hmm. that is a thing that a number of Native American tribes do go into business doing. Mm-hmm. All three of the tribes in New Jersey have a pact. They have it published on their websites that say, we are not interested in opening casino gaming here. And they even had to go as far to say to the New Jersey state government that they would support any law that they created to say that the three Native American tribes could never open up casino gaming.
Interesting.
This is like classic abuser behavior. Mm-hmm. I take something from you, but then you have to be nice to me in order to get it back.
Mm. The history of America, folks.
Seriously. Yeah. So that's something that's going down right here in this land we also call New Jersey. Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
In another trail mix from season 2 called Without a Trace, we cover the term wilderness, and how the creation of this term helped to shape the narrative that there was untouched wild land here in this land, also known as America, when in fact, there has never been. Indigenous people have been stewards of the land for over 20,000 years, and all of the public land that we are currently protecting was the traditional and stolen lands of Indigenous people. This includes the national parks.
This is from the article, Return the National Parks to Tribes by David Truer, published in The Atlantic. Quote, America's national parks comprise of only a small fraction of the land stolen from Native Americans, but they loom large in the broader story of our dispossession. Even after we were relegated to reservations, the betrayals continued. Beginning in 1887, the Dawes Act, also known as the General Allotment Act, split much of the reservations up into small parcels of land to be granted to individual Indians, while the surplus communal land was opened for white settlement. In blunt terms, Thomas Morgan, the Commissioner of Indian Affairs, said in 1890 that the goal of federal policy at the time was to break up reservations, destroy tribal relations, settle Indians upon their own homesteads, incorporate them into the national life, and deal with them not as nations or tribes or bands, but as individual citizens. This land grab bled at least another 90 million acres away from the tribes, roughly equivalent to the 85 million acres that comprises America's 423 national park sites, end quote.
Truer continues saying, quote, after Yellowstone was established and Indians were removed and in some cases excluded from its spaces, the same and worse happened elsewhere. The Blackfeet, living in three bands in northwestern Montana and southern Alberta, had long thought of the Rockies as their spiritual and physical homeland. They wouldn't have dreamt of ceding it at a treaty table, but in the 1880s and 90s, they were forced to negotiate with the U.S. government. Weakened by a string of epidemics, seasons of starvation, and insatiable Americans bent on opening up their homelands to timber and mineral extraction, the Blackfeet had to make concession after concession. Some years, they had to give up land just to secure enough resources to last through the next winter. Not long after a harsh winter that killed as many as 600 Blackfeet, the tribe signed away land that would become Glacier National Park. The deal was brokered by George Bird Grinnell, the naturalist founder of the Audubon Society of New York. Grinnell had joined General Armstrong Custer on his expedition of the Black Hills in 1874 in search of gold. The trip was in direct violation of the treaty guaranteeing that the Black Hills would remain in Native control. Grinnell was often called a, quote, friend of the Indian, end quote, but he once wrote that the natives have the, quote, mind of a child in the body of an adult, end quote. In 1911, a year after Congress approved the creation of Glacier, Montana ceded jurisdiction of the park to the U.S. government, end quote. And again, this is from the article, Return the National Parks to the Tribes by David Truer, published in The Atlantic.
Let's talk about the thing we heard the tour guide say. So we recently went to Wind Cave National Park.
We did. This was a part of our 5-week adventure across the country all the way to Montana. Wind Cave was one of the spaces that we were fortunate enough to be able to stop in while we were in the Dakotas.
Yeah.
And we had purchased tickets for a tour day of. That's the only way that you can do things at Wind Cave. And that's really the only way you can see the cave is by doing those day of tickets. There's plenty of prairie hikes that you can do, but really you want to go to see the cave. And we had a really great tour guide, a ranger who led the tour, did an awesome job, really explained the cave itself, gave a lot of great information. And then we got to kind of the end of the tour.
Well, we got to, it was
like,
sort
it was
of like
almost
the
end. It was
the
like,
middle yeah. section of the tour that was like the last spot we were stopping mm-hmm. to like hear some more mm-hmm. about. And
she said something that really didn't like sit well with either
no,
of us.
No.
But it was, I will say this, it was very clearly, this was like a canned line that she has said over and over and over again. Like
yeah.
it's like part of the script that
part
she had
to memorize.
Part of the script. Yeah.
But she said, the National Park Service is doing a lot to right some of the wrongs of the past, even though that work may never be completed.
Yeah,
and we were both
like
wait,
a
what?
Dagger to the heart.
That's wait, hold on. We were like, I'm sorry. Like this is the attitude we're having
yeah.
for this?
It wasn't great.
Like we're going to say like, yeah, we're going to try even though it may never get done. Like, yeah, okay, great. Now yeah. it's really yeah. going to get done if that's how we're starting off.
It's like global warming.
Oh, my
we're
goodness.
We're going to try real hard. Might not get done.
I was like, I'm like rewriting stuff for her. Yeah. Like, or rewriting stuff for the script mm-hmm. on the way out.
I have
like,
notes.
I have notes. Like, no, we can yeah, no longer it wasn't say great. That. No.
It was real bad. So while returning land to indigenous tribes seems like a clear idea for moving forward, there is no blueprint for how to do this. And in order to create one or even get close to developing a process for this, this is going to take a ton of investment of time, money, and care. And still, when it comes to indigenous affairs, they are most often at the bottom of the docket.
Land back is a phrase associated with a movement that is a project by NDN Collective, a nonprofit organization who describes itself as a resource to, quote, equip all indigenous people with the tools needed to become architects of our future, end quote. And their mission is to, quote, build the collective power of indigenous peoples, communities, and nations to exercise our inherent right to self-determination while fostering a world that is built on a foundation of justice and equity for all people and the planet, end quote.
And just like there is no single indigenous narrative or story, there is no singular pathway for indigenous activism. There are many. NDN Collective is a larger organization that has earned support from across the land known as America. However, there are many organizations and communities working towards the same goal of getting land returned to indigenous people.
This is from the Land Back Manifesto found on landback.org. Quote, "It is the reclamation of everything stolen from the original peoples, land, language, ceremony, medicines, kinship."
They continue to say, quote, "It is the relationship with Mother Earth that is symbolic and just, where we have reclaimed stewardship. It is bringing our people with us as we move towards liberation and embodied sovereignty through the organizing, political, and narrative framework.
It is a long legacy of warriors and leaders who sacrificed freedom and life. It is a catalyst for current generation organizers and centers the voices of those who represent our future.
It is recognizing that our struggle is interconnected with the struggles of all oppressed people. It is a future where Black reparations and Indigenous land back coexist, where BIPOC collective liberation is at the core.
It is acknowledging that only when Mother Earth is well, can we, her children, be well. It is our belonging to the land because we are the land." End quote.
The work done by groups with missions and goals like NDN Collective have certainly brought truth to the depth of the colonization that happened on this land into the conversation more. So much so that we are now starting to see some return of land to indigenous tribes.
In June of 2020, the Supreme Court ruled that about half of the land, also known as the state of Oklahoma, was promised to the Muscogee Creek Nation.
The National Bison Range was officially returned to tribal leadership under the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes, CSKT, of the Flathead Reservation in Montana.
And in August of 2020, more than 1,000 acres of land near Big Sur, California, were returned to the Esalen Tribe.
And other land transfers back to indigenous tribes have happened through land grants in Maine, New York, Oregon, and other states.
This is by no means sweeping action, but this is a start. And we have a long way to go. But the answer, "we may never get there," is unacceptable. Therefore, MPS, you've got to rewrite your script. We must get there. It is possible. Many people ask, how can I join this fight? How can I do something? And while, yes, there are certainly things the government must put in place, there is always something you can do. Staying informed, connecting yourself to local indigenous communities, getting involved in the work is always a help. But let's also talk about money.
There are so many organizations doing the work to help return land to indigenous people, and your donation is always helpful. Also, there is no reparation tax on the books right now, but you can create your own. Whose traditional land are you currently living on? Make an annual, monthly, or as often as possible donation to the tribe's organization, scholarship funds, educational programming, and food sovereignty programs.
Also, if you have access to land or are someone who has lots of land, give it back. It is absolutely possible to give your land back to the indigenous tribe it was originally stolen from. And while there is no governmental process for this yet, it is possible. Contact that tribe directly. The burden of this work should not fall to the indigenous communities of this land. It is our responsibilities, the descendants of white colonizing settlers, who must put in the time and money to ensure that we return what our ancestors wrongfully stole and give back what we continue to profit from. That is our inheritance. This has been Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. We're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that reparations are always possible.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. To find out more about parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gaze Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written by Dave Seaman and performed by Dave Seaman, Mariella Klinger, and Sean Sklios. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Ocean County, New Jersey.